God's word to us today, taken from John chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the word of the Lord. It's the end of October, and that's a special time of year for Lutherans, and it goes even beyond trick-or-treating and Halloween, as special as those family events are. On October 31st, 505 years ago, 1517, a rather simple event took place in Wittenberg, Germany. That simple event was the posting of 95 theses or statements on the door of a church, which was not a terribly unusual thing to do. The pastor of that church was the man who did the posting of the 95 statements. Not only was he the pastor of that church, but he was a university professor. He was a doctor of theology. He was a Roman Catholic monk of the Augustinian order, and you know his name. All Martin Luther saw as a result of that posting of 95 theses, really all he hoped for was a talk, a discussion, a debate about some questionable practices that had come up in his church. And that questionable practice that he wanted to talk about with church officials was the buying and selling of something called indulgences. And indulgences were pieces of paper that were essentially forgiveness coupons. In other words, if you bought enough of them, you could be forgiven your sins. So, people started to believe then that Jesus doesn't save. You save yourself. Or your rich uncle saves you by buying enough indulgences. Martin Luther was a faithful pastor and theologian who loved his church, the church who had brought him up to be a pastor and a theologian. But he loved God, and he loved God's word, and he loved God's people more than that. And so he said, "I gotta say something about this." And he posted the 95 theses. "I gotta say something about this, because that's not the Bible's way to get into heaven." And his 95 theses then challenged church officials to a debate. He wanted a debate. What he got was a reformation of the visible Christian church on earth. And how that happened was in the days and years and decades following October 31st, 1517, the more Martin Luther and lots of other people held the teachings of the church up to the light of God's holy word, he came to the conclusion that the traditions in the church and the decrees from the Pope were not in line with Scripture. And the more he said something about that, the more he objected to church teachings that were not according to God's word, the more he was opposed. And one day, 4 years later, he was told to take back everything that he had written. Not because it was against Scripture, but because it was against the church. And Luther said, "I can't do that." To quote, he said, "I am bound by Scripture, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." 505 years later, I would say that that is our greatest Lutheran heritage. That, right there. Standing on the Word of God and saying, "God help me." For what reason do we stand on the Word of God as Lutheran Christians? Not to be right so that others can be wrong. And my friend, God help us if we as Lutherans have that attitude. Nor do we stand on the Word of God so that we can win every Bible trivia game or something like that. No, the reason we stand on the Word of God goes back to the words Jesus had for us in John chapter 8, which I read just a few minutes ago. We stand on the Word of God because then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. God used Martin Luther and all the other reformers, warts and all, and they had plenty of them. But he used them to bring something back to light, the greatest gift the church can ever have, and that is the gospel. The most important truth, that a person is eternally saved by God's grace in Jesus Christ. And that gift of his grace is received through faith, not by works of the law. That truth of Scripture is what we strive to hold on to. And I mean strive because it's easy to lose it in a world like what we've got. We strive to hold on to the truth because when we do, that's when we experience the freedom. The truth. Jesus said, "My teaching is the truth." I wonder if we caught that the first time. He said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth." That's a really important point about the truth and about being a disciple. I think we all want to be disciples of Jesus. Jesus says the way that you do that is you understand that my word, this is Jesus talking, my word is the foundational truth of your being a disciple. The best way for you to serve God and to serve your fellow human being as a disciple of Jesus is to conform your life and your teaching as a church to Christ's word, not the other way around. And that was one of the main points or battle cries, really, of the Lutheran Reformation. Sola Scriptura, Latin for Scripture alone, was really about this. If we're going to come together as a church and promote something as being the truth, then it has to be taught in the Bible, which is God's truth. So, if you're going to teach a place that you go to when you die, a place of suffering, so that you can redeem your own life by suffering, and that this place is called purgatory, then purgatory better be taught in the Bible. If you're going to teach that Jesus' mother Mary was without sin, and that right now she's in heaven as a go-between between us and God, a co-redeemer with Jesus Christ, then that better be taught in the Bible. If you're going to teach that the words and counsels and decisions of men, the decrees of popes, are not just reflective of Scripture, but are actually equal to Scripture. They are on a par with God's Word. Well, then that better be taught in the Bible. And if those things aren't taught in the Bible, but the church is teaching them, then the church needs to change. The Bible doesn't need to change. The church does. The church needs to reform. The church needs to re-anchor itself in the Word of God. And that's what the Reformation was all about. But, you know, that was 505 years ago. We don't need that anymore. Actually, Luther himself would disagree with that. He was fond of saying that the church is in constant need of reforming. Another way of saying that is there is a constant need for examination of what we are teaching and preaching and believing as a church to see if it is in line with God's holy word. Jesus would say it this way, are you holding to my teaching? Are you really my disciple? And so we ask the question, how do we do that today? How do we hold on to the truth? How do we keep the Reformation alive in 2022? Permit me a three-part answer. The first part of holding on to the truth is knowing it. Growing in both your knowledge and your trust in God's word does not happen like through osmosis. By that I mean, we are not these supernatural beings that somehow know God's word without being in God's word. We have to be in it to know it and to hold on to it. This is why for disciples today, things like Bible study, Sunday school, a Lutheran elementary school, a growth group, confirmation class, those things are really important. Like, those are way, way more than church stuff. That's how we know the truth. A second part of holding on to the truth is knowing what to let go. Our church body, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, and our congregation, St. Marcus Lutheran Church, are like a lot of other church bodies and congregations in this way. We've had some wonderful traditions passed down to us. You could call them church traditions, and they're great. But a disciple always does this. A disciple draws a firm line between God's truth and our tradition. Church traditions can reflect God's truth, and that's why we love them. But they are never equal to God's truth. And disciples take great care to never say that tradition is something that we gotta do. I want to be up in that pulpit right now. And I actually want to be wearing a white alb. But there is nothing in the Bible that says, I gotta do that. Lutherans understand that. They know the difference between God's truth that we hold on to and our traditions that we can let go of. One last part to holding on to God's truth, and that is the part that I think every Christian is tempted to just sort of abort, and maybe especially Lutheran Christians. The best way to hold on to God's truth is to live it. I think there's a temptation for us to think of God's word, the Bible, as something that's really old. It's based on sort of an ancient history text that we study, and it's good to study it, but we're studying it, you know, after the fact. It's history. The trap that exists with looking at the Bible that way, is, among other things, is that then we are never encouraged to live it today. God describes his word. Doesn't matter that it was inspired to be written down on papyrus or parchment thousands of years ago. It doesn't matter that it was written down thousands of years ago. God says things like this. It's living. Present tense. Active. It is a powerful force in our life. It's a lamp to our feet, a light for our path. It's for us today. When a disciple of Jesus Christ lives God's word, that is like the greatest hymn of praise to our Savior God. But then there's this. It's also our greatest witness. When we live the principles of God's word, for instance, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we live that way, this is our way of saying to the world around us that God's truth is really important to us, and it's not important to me so that I can pick a fight with you and get into an argument with you. It's important to me because it is God's love letter to you, and it'll set you free. That's what Jesus said. The truth will set us free. The people who first heard him say that back in that story in John chapter 8, they had trouble with that. I think they were offended by it. They said, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free? Think what they were saying is, we're kind of the top dogs around here, Jesus of Nazareth. We set the rules in religion. We are the foremost followers of God. How can you say that we need to be set free? You know, there's a variation on that theme that I think you might hear from a friend, or I guess to be more accurate, we might hear it just sort of lurking in our own heart. And it goes something like this: freedom. Freedom, really. So that's what you're offering me with your holy book, your Bible, your Word of God. Freedom. With all of the rules and the conformity and the commands and the regulations, doesn't sound like freedom to me. And after all, I am free. I'm free to live my life my way. Your church, your God, your Bible, no thanks. Because I don't need that kind of freedom. I'm afraid that that is the majority opinion in the world today. This is Jesus' response to it. Warning, this will bust your ego. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. You say you don't need freedom. Do you sin? You see, to walk in a path that mocks God's ways and only satisfies our selfish desires, Jesus says that's actually the opposite of freedom. What he's saying to us today, and he's coming to us as a friend, and he's coming to your neighbor who might say this as a friend, and he's saying, there is a miserable, horrible master who has enslaved all people in the world, and it is sin. What does sin shackle in our life? For one thing, sin keeps us from being completely happy. To promote the willful breaking of God's will in our life, which is what sin is, for anybody to promote that as being the secret to happiness is to believe the devil's lie. There's no other way to say it. That is the devil's lie. Jesus called him the father of lies. And his biggest lie is this: you listen to me, you follow me, you forget God's way, you do it your way, and then you will be happy. And what do we get from that? We get the misery of an empty life apart from God. We get brokenness on every level. Broken life, a broken relationship, several broken relationships, broken hearts. We get enslaved is what we get. And if we were left in those chains, if there was no one to remove them, the doors of heaven itself would be locked away to us. You see, Jesus is telling it like it is when he says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone needs freedom from sin. And I am here to tell you today that our Lord Jesus was never about pointing out our problems only. As quick as he was to point out the problem to those people way back when in John chapter 8, he was just as quick to point out the solution to the problem. And this is what he said: when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. The Bible says, and this means the truth is, that for every sin-shackled soul there is out there, and that's all of us, for every one of us, when we believe in the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin, this is when he is the chain breaker. This is when he just slaps down the lies of the devil. This is when he opens the door to heaven. This is when he salves and soothes our heart. A heart that is asking that gnawing question: how is a person like me going to stand before a God like that? And Jesus says, you come to my cross, and I'm going to tell you how you will stand. Listen to me, he says. Listen to me. Father, forgive them. It is finished. I forgive you, Jesus says. I take away your sin. And now come with me, Jesus says, to my empty tomb. I'm not in that tomb because I live. But you know what is in that tomb? Your sins, because I took them upon myself and I took them to the grave. And when I rose, I left them behind. They are dead. Buried, gone, removed as far as the east is from the west. God's solution to our problem of sin is not a self-help seminar. It's a person, the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. My dear fellow daughters and sons of the Lutheran Reformation, that's what you are. This truth that I have been sharing with you, it is the gospel. It courses through every page of Scripture. If you take it out of the Bible doesn't make any sense. It is the only power on earth that can break the chain of sin and give the soul peace. God help us to hold on to it. It's easy to let go of it. God help us to hold on. God help us to live it and breathe its freedom. And then God help us as individuals and as a congregation to broadcast it far and wide to a family, to a neighborhood, to a community, to a city, to a country, to a world that desperately needs it. This is the way we shall keep the Reformation alive. Here we stand on the Word of God. God help us. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.